So our Bible reading today are from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, 1 to 12, 23 to 24, and 37 to 39. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, cumin, and dill. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
As we come to today's teachings by Jesus, we continue to be right at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And this comes straight after our last couple of messages where Jesus was answering some difficult questions, such as, should we pay taxes? How does marriage work at the resurrection? Which is the greatest commandment? And how can the Christ be both David's descendant and his Lord? This teaching that we get today is in the middle of this final teaching session of Jesus's. In it, he is warning people directly of his key criticisms of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, which overall is that they are hypocrites. Now, many of these Jesus has already mentioned. And so as we go through this passage, we're not going to look at all of these criticisms in detail. Rather, we're going to look at the whole section, the introduction, the very end of it, and we're focusing on one of the woes, which Jesus identified, that we haven't really looked at yet. So having been challenged and silencing the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, Jesus turns to the crowd, saying, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them, but do not do what they do." Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, if I take you back there, Jesus was comparing the limited understanding of the scriptures of the teachers of law and the Pharisees to that of his own understanding of what the law says and means. But here, Jesus is recognizing that not all of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees' teaching is inaccurate. As these groups teach the law, they are still reading the law of God and trying their best to explain it and help people to understand it. The problem isn't so much their exploration of the scriptures, it's their heart attitude to God and how they live out their faith. What we're going to see here is how the Pharisees are zealous for God, but the corruption of their sin has actually made them hard towards God. So in here, there is a deep warning for us. Just because we are zealous for God, it doesn't mean our zealousness can't be corrupted and transformed into sin. We have to check our hearts against the plumb line of Jesus regularly. The most admirable character trait of King David, we are told, is that He had a heart after God's own. And we too need to ensure that we have a heart which continues to be after God's heart, seeking after the things which God seeks after, and watching for blind spots that we might have. So Jesus says, you must obey them, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. So this phrase that we know so well, practicing what you preach, is actually one which comes from Jesus' teachings. It's a phrase coined from him. So there is a disconnect, anyway, between the teachings of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees as they expound the scriptures and how they live out their lives and their ministries. And the first thing which Jesus identifies is that they tie up heavy loads on people, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Not only do the teachers of the law and Pharisees insist upon the most minute circumstances of the ceremonial law and pressing the observation of them with more strictness and severity than God himself did, but they added to his word and imposed their own inventions and traditions under the highest penalties. An example of which was the law of the Sabbath, by which they made that day a burden, which was designed to be a joy and a delight. And they pressed upon the people a strictness in religion which they themselves could not keep, but always showing as if they could. So professing to guide, they neither helped nor sympathized with the troubles of those they taught. And this is in stark contrast to Jesus, who, despite being perfect, did sympathize with people's struggles and spent much of his time helping people with their problems. Next, Jesus identifies where sin has crept in and corrupted the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And this is that they love the praise and honor they receive from people. We hear that their phylacteries are wide and their tassels are long. Now, the phylacteries are the boxes that Jews wore on their heads. They put a scripture verse in them so that they could memorize it and know the scriptures. And so by making them wide, they were showing just how great their learning of scripture was. And they were to have tassels on the end of their garments. And by making them long, it was to show just how religious and observant of the law they were. They loved to be people who were respected above others, and the perks which this recognition gave them. It meant that people served them, and this stroked their ego and increased their pride. But come on, who wouldn't like to be treated like they were? Everyone coming up to you and greeting you with titles of superiority, rabbi, master, teacher, father, that would be enjoyable. And what's the problem? Well, that's the problem. It can be intoxicating and addictive to be respected and honored, and it makes one full of pride, leading one to actually believe the hype that you are better than you are and better than others. So Jesus says, strip yourselves of your titles. I remember a teacher at school. Now, I never had him, but he was infamous. And he was a geeky science type. I remember he wore a bow tie. And if you ever addressed him as Mr. Reed, he would snap back, "It's Dr. Reed to you." He needed everyone to give him due respect for his academic accomplishments. But let's not be too hard on him, because we know that one of the greatest professions to suffer from this title-giving honor above others is that of ministry. Reverend, father, pastor, teacher, priest, bishop, deacon, even minister, which literally means servant, are used to denote someone worthy of respect. All too often, ministers or pastors play a game with their congregations. Congregations treat them with greater honor and respect than everyone else, but then in return place a superior spiritual demand on them to be holier and more righteous than ordinary church folk. But there is more in this section than just a prohibition on being called honorific titles. And that so that those in Christian leadership are not puffed up with pride. Because the greater reason Jesus gives for not using such titles is because, one, it's displacing Jesus. Jesus is our sole rabbi or teacher. He and he alone is to be the one we bring ourselves under in order to learn from him. And this really brings out a very important point. Jesus and his teachings, his way of life, his example, his death and resurrection must always remain at the center of all that we teach, the foundation of everything we teach. Once you depart from his teachings, once we depart from teachings which have a foundation on Jesus, then what you are teaching is worthless. And in fact, possibly worse than worthless, but harmful. One, Jesus is our sole teacher. Two, that in our Christian family, Jesus has made us all equal. We are all just brothers and sisters in Christ. So you don't come under my teaching. Rather, I help to explain to you what Jesus taught as effectively and impactfully as I can. But I am one of you, not someone special. I'm just one of you who just so happened to be called by God to devote my life to leading, guiding, and teaching his people. Jesus remains our only rabbi, teacher, pastor, reverend, minister, etc. Now, I do just want to say I get the title minister is an attempt to get around this problem. That is, it's a title of humility. But for many, minister, for all practical purposes, means the opposite of servant. And in our Heavenly Father is the only one we are to call Father out of respect for his position. And just a quick point of clarification, I do not believe that Jesus is saying that we aren't to call our earthly dads Father. This is in the context of people who in Jesus' day would bring themselves under a particular rabbi or teacher to learn from them and would call them Master or Father. Or at least I believe that's what Jesus is getting at. After establishing these lessons, Jesus then continues his critique of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees through a series of woes. So there's woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. And this is a criticism of their opposition to Jesus and his ministry. They refuse to listen to Jesus and repent, and they use their position and influence and authority to convince others to not follow Jesus. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel the world to make one convert, and then basically Jesus says you then lead them astray for the same reason. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. And we've looked at that one previously. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected, more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should practice the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strained out a gnat, but but swallowed a camel. So Jesus here is criticizing that out of everything which is written in the law and the prophets, when it comes to what the teachers of the law and the Pharisees focus on in their living out of the scriptures and of their faith, it's in making sure that they give a tenth of each spice they own. Or in other words, they spend an inordinate amount of time making sure that they give a tenth of every single thing of value they have, but then completely ignore the aspects of the law which are of greater, far greater importance, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And it's not that you shouldn't give a tenth of what you earn to God. It's just that there are more important things to make sure that we are doing and to be encouraging others to be doing. They are majoring on the minor and minoring on the major. Or they have made what is least important in the law most important, and what is most important in the law least important. They've got things back to front. And I'm sure that this made Jesus just shake his head in frustration. Now, as we examine ourselves and ask ourselves, have we got our priorities straight? And we have to do this. Following on from our series in 2019 on God's vision for us, which gave us this wonderful painting of our vision statement, at the beginning of 2020, I asked you, have we, as a church, put the most important things in our lives and in our Christian lives first? We have to regularly be checking this. Otherwise, we might end up frustrating Jesus because we've strained out a gnat and swallowed a camel. So we have to be careful not to follow what the Pharisees did here and instead learn from their mistakes. Jesus then continues on with, woe to you, for you clean the outside of cups and dishes but are full of greed and self-indulgence. We've looked at that. Woe to you, you are like whitewashed tombs. On the outside you appear righteousness, but in the inside full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, for you testify against yourself that you are descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Basically, you do the same things as those who killed the prophets, because you stand against me, this is Jesus, you stand against me and will prevent my followers from spreading the gospel. And then Jesus finishes off his teaching with looking at Jerusalem. And I really see that Jesus here speaks these words from his perspective as God. How he wishes that Jerusalem, its religious leaders and people, would stop rejecting him. Jesus is frustrated by the hardness of his people's hearts. They repeatedly reject God and those who speak on God's behalf, his prophets. And out of this, we can also see God's deep longing just to be allowed to shepherd his people, to lead them, protect them, to guide them. But they just won't let him. Like a wayward child who is determined to live a harmful, sinful lifestyle, and so refuses to accept the love and advice of caring parents. And so Jesus ends this teaching by speaking of Jerusalem in a personified way, saying, look, once you've killed me, you will be destroyed. And you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until the day I return and you recognize me as the Christ who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is so frustrated by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and their sinful hearts, full of zeal for following God, but hearts which are deeply corrupted. There is good in what they teach when they teach the scriptures, but they do not live out the will of God. They are hypocrites and blind in so many ways. And we have to be aware that we too can be equally hypocritical and blind, and we have to take heed of the lessons Jesus was teaching from the poor example of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. So may we continue to humbly serve God and each other by being understanding of the difficulties people face and being willing to help and encourage others. May we never get in the way of the gospel being preached. May we reflect on our priorities to ensure that we are majoring on the major and minoring on the minor. May we allow Jesus to clean us and our hearts, and may we allow God to shepherd us, making sure that Jesus and his teachings are always and the only thing that we make ourselves subject to. Amen.